We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to the Beaver Sports Podcast, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Your community, your place to bank. Join in. Here are your hosts, Mike Parker and John Warren.
Welcome into another edition of the Oregon State Podcast, presented by On Point Community Credit Union, providing our local communities with the banking and lending solutions we need to get ahead. On Point is a proud sponsor of the Oregon State Athletics Podcast, federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Opportunity, and an honor to welcome Ellie Slama in to this week's edition of the podcast. Ellie, hello. Thanks for taking time for us. This will be not necessarily time sensitive. It's available. People can listen to it any time. But when we are talking to you, it is a Monday, coming off as glorious a weekend of weather as I can remember this time of year in a long time. Did you enjoy this past weekend?
Yeah, I really did. It was amazing. It was like 82 degrees both Saturday and Sunday. So got out there and practiced Saturday, and Sunday went up to OGA course with my teammate Danique, and we played a practice round for the U.S. Women's Open qualifier next week and just enjoyed the sun.
You've got first business to take care of first with the Pac-12s this weekend at Stanford. But before we get to that, since you mentioned it, next week, tell us about the challenge ahead in the qualifying event, what it entails, and you have a sense of what you need to do to qualify.
Yeah, so the qualifier is actually Monday the 26th, so the day after I get back from Pac-12s. It's 36 holes at the OGA course, and it's a one and in. So if you get, I think, at the top two in the qualifier, you get to go to the U.S. Women's Open at Olympic Club this summer.
All you got to do is finish in the top two on Monday, or are there weeks and weeks of qualifying?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a sectional and a regional for the men, but I think we just have the regional. So,
well, that's doable. Yeah. That's totally doable, isn't it?
Just go win it, Ellie. Nothing to it. No, you've been winning, and we're going to talk about that here in a moment. But it's clear. It sounds like it's clear cut, which I think is what John's driving at. You finish one or two, and you're in, and that's got to be an exciting prospect in itself.
Yeah, definitely. It's got a strong field. There's quite a few professionals playing in it. It's definitely like one of the biggest women's events in the world, so it shouldn't be super easy to get in, but I mean, if I play well, I think I definitely have a shot. Yeah. So
have
it'll
you,
be fun.
Have you tried to qualify before? What's your history on this?
Yeah, the last time I played in this event, I was 15 years old. So it's been a while, but I played all right. It was my first time ever playing 36 holes when I played in it when I was 15. So we'll see what happens, but I'm very used to playing 36 now, so it won't be anything different from college golf. So I'm excited.
Okay, you keep opening up new threads here. 15. Were you intimidated when you did that?
Honestly, I don't think I was. I think I just went into it playing just for fun and just kind of having a good time. And it was one of the bigger events I'd played in probably besides, you know, Junior Worlds and U.S. Girls and stuff like that. But it was just a fun atmosphere, and I wanted to play with some good players, and it was a very good tournament. I didn't play super well on the second 18, but I think I was top five after the first 18, so I gave it a shot.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. Ellie Slama, our guest this week on the podcast. Do you make plans? What do you think of when you're ready to go into a tournament like the Pac-12s this weekend and then the U.S. Open qualifier or tryouts then on Monday? Or do you just try to play your best and not think much about it before you get there?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of both. I definitely make some goals once I've seen the course. So for both Pac-12s and for the qualifier, I've seen Stanford and I've seen OGA course. So I know kind of some of my goals. Obviously, the course may be set up a little bit differently for Stanford now that we're playing in the spring and I've only played there in the fall. But I go in with some goals. I go in with a score in mind usually or a finish in mind. The finish is hard because you don't know how everyone else is going to play. But, my goal is top 10 at Pac-12s, and I'm just hoping that our team can get top five or six there, and then we can head on to regionals.
Ellie, we talked to you on our local show in the Mid-Valley recently about some of these things, but we'd love to cover some of the ground again. I talked to Nicole Schroeder earlier today, in fact, who said that the course for the Pac-12s, the Stanford course, it plays to her strengths and sets up pretty well for her. She's excited about it. What about for you in this course?
Yeah, I think it's a great course. It's set up very hard. The rough has always been thick there. But, length-wise, I think it's pretty similar to all of our other events, so that's good. The greens are always in really good shape there, and I'm sure they're going to be fast, and I really like fast greens. So hopefully it'll be good, and I think it sets up to pretty much all of our team's strengths. Where, you know, if we're missing the green, just have a little chip from the rough up and down and move on with the hole.
What are some challenges in your game? Is it narrow fairways? You already said you like the fast greens. What are some things that make you go, okay, all right, I don't like this, but we'll make it happen?
Obviously my swing speed might not be as fast as men's swing speed. So definitely when I get in the rough there, it's hard to get out, and they have the rough so deep that you can lose a ball in it. So there's definitely some tight fairways, and you got to hit it on the right part of the green so that you don't have a super quick downhill putt. But overall, I think as long as I'm, you know, hitting the ball straight like usual, I think it'll be okay.
Do you like links courses? Have you played those often, and what do you think?
Yeah, I've played Bandon and Chambers Bay and a couple other links style courses. I don't necessarily have a preference between that and a regular course. I think my favorite type of course is Pacific Northwest style, you know, tree lined and tight, just because I do hit it relatively straight. And that's definitely an advantage for me when I'm in the fairway and other players may not be.
Well, in some of those links courses, they try to be like, you know, Scotland and Ireland, where they'll have bunkers that are literally a 10-foot wall if you're facing it going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ellie, have you ever played over in Europe? Have you played any of the courses John just alluded to?
No, I have not, unfortunately. We're supposed to go to Italy this year, but
you were going to, but it didn't happen? Is that what you're saying?
Well, so it was supposed to happen in last September, Mm-hmm. And obviously that didn't happen with COVID. So now it's supposed to happen this September, but who knows? We'll see. I hope we can get over there.
Ellie, you may not have been able to play overseas, but you've played Augusta National now twice. So in terms of of a golfer's sort of dream destination to be able to someday play, you've done it twice now, twice in a lifetime. We'll get back to your recent individual title at Silverado and even more on what's ahead for you next week and this weekend. But what did it live up to all expectations? I mean, if you see it on television your whole life and have a sense of the hallowed place that it is, to actually go there and play it now twice, has it met or even exceeded your sense of expectations growing up watching this hallowed course?
Yeah, no, it's definitely exceeded expectations both times I've played it. Just the second you step on the grounds there, everything's, you know, perfectly in bloom and the grass is flawless and everyone, all the staff are just so friendly and everyone wants you to be there and you feel welcome, which is amazing. But yeah, I mean, both years I've played in it and both times I've been at Augusta, it's just been an amazing experience.
Being there or doing what you do, even collegiately, but mostly on these opportunities, like you say, there'll be some pros playing in the U.S. Open trials, and then having this opportunity with Augusta. Have you ever had any brush with greatness, or even been able to foster the smallest of relationships with a pro? Have you been around the pros and, oh my gosh, that's so and so?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the first year we played in it, there were quite a lot of professionals out there practicing, warming up for the Masters. Annika and Nancy Lopez and Lorena Ochoa were out there just walking around during the inaugural year, which was pretty cool. But I haven't had more than, you know, like a quick conversation with them. I'd obviously love to have more of a relationship with some professionals and anyone who would want to, but I mean, they're all out there practicing and very welcoming and, you know, wish us luck, which is very cool.
Ellie, the last couple of things on Augusta. You've been asked about it many times, interviewed about it many times. What's is there a highlight moment for you taking a particular shot in a practice round where you know so many of the legends of the sport have played? Did you say, I'm here where Jack was, where Arnold was, where Tiger was, did you have moments like that where you're looking around and going, wow, I've seen this on TV and now here I am? Any that stick out along those lines?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many. My caddy the last 2 years at Augusta has let us just, you know, hit every chip shot, every shot into the green that is famous. And we saw Bubba's shot from the trees. They have a little plaque there for it. I mean, it's incredible just being there and reliving some of the memories that I watched on TV as a kid and saw, you know, Phil and Tiger and all of the big name professionals hitting those same shots, and being a part of that has been really cool. But I would say my favorite part was probably just aiming corner and walking onto the green on 12 and seeing all the amazing flowers and just looking back, and it's surreal. Like, you don't even feel like you're really there, and it's amazing.
You've gone a couple of times now, and there was one opportunity that COVID shut down. When you go, who goes with you? Do you go alone? Does the coach go with you or your parents?
Yeah, so my first year I was given 8 tickets, so that was very generous. So I had my grandparents, my parents, my brother, a couple family friends. And then this year I was given 3 tickets due to COVID. So I had both my parents and my brother go. So similar crowd, just a little bit less.
And when you're there, do they give you a caddy, or can you have like your brother or your dad caddy for you?
Yeah, so my first year I had my dad caddy for me. But once you get to Augusta, they provide you a caddy just because they know the course so well. And I actually ended up liking my caddy so much that I had him caddy for me again the second year for the entire event. So that was pretty cool.
Ellie Slama with us for a few more minutes. Following that really unforgettable experience, you go in a really jam-packed time where you were on the course every day for I don't know how many days you told us before in our previous conversation, but you go from there to Napa and the Silverado Showdown, and you go win the individual title to kind of culminate an amazing stretch in your life. What was that like, Ellie, to go from Augusta to go win another title?
Yeah, it was 15 days in a row of golf because we played Papago in Arizona before Augusta, but it was an amazing 2 weeks of golf. Just playing Silverado, I showed up halfway through the practice round and was pretty exhausted from my flight from Augusta, and I just went into it with very few expectations and just tried to have fun and play the best golf that I could, and everything just was working in my favor, and I was putting really well and hitting the ball, you know, in the right spots on the greens, and it just ended up being a good 3 days of golf.
Were you dragging towards the end?
I wouldn't say so. I think that I started to, you know, not putt quite as well towards the very end, mm-hmm. but obviously you can't make everything, so I wasn't super surprised by that, but I mean, I still played very well in the last round, and Allison Corpus from USC, my playing opponent, was playing very well, and so I think that head-to-head towards the end was definitely some good golf.
Were there other Pac-12 players at the Augusta thing?
Oh, yeah, like a lot. Hmm. Like we all were on the same flight out there and all on the same flight back.
So you're not just by yourself. I mean, other than you're with your family. I mean, in the golf world, you're with peers that that you compete against and know.
Yeah, yes. I was the only one from Pacific Northwest, but everyone else was there was USC, Arizona, Arizona State, UCLA, a couple Stanford girls. So that was quite a good representation from the Pac-12.
Our conversation with Ellie Slama, also brought to you in part by the OSU Beaver Store. Your game day experience starts at osubeaverstore.com. The OSU Beaver Store, your authentic source for beaver gear since 1914. Go Beavs! And in light of that, Ellie, your association with the Beavers may not go back to 1914 within your family, but it goes back a ways, right? I mean, you've kind of grew up with the orange and black and the Beavs. Tell us a little bit about that and the game day experience and the Beaver experience throughout your life.
Yeah, definitely been a Beaver my whole life. And both my parents graduated from Oregon State for their undergrad. My dad went to vet school at Oregon State as well. Then my brother went here, and now I'm here. So it's definitely very special to our family, and I've grown up going to basketball games and football games and watching Oregon State athletics my whole life. So it's pretty cool to be a part of it now.
Yeah. Well, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to ask you if there's time in your schedule while you're a student and an athlete to go to other sporting events, or are you just always playing golf?
Oh, no, there's always time to watch everyone else. I've been to probably every football game that I could go to. I've been to a ton of basketball games, some volleyball games, soccer, gymnastics, pretty much any sport that, you know, they have spectators for. I've been there and been watching and cheering on my fellow athletes, but definitely been different this year with COVID and not allowing spectators, but we've been following from, you know, the TV and online and just rooting each other on.
Did you play other sports in high school?
Yeah, I actually swam and I ran cross country all 4 years. So I was a busy kid in high school.
When did golf, though, when did you start playing it? When did you know you were pretty good at it? I mean,
did you beat your dad?
Yeah, when did that begin to take shape? Did you grow up with clubs in your hand?
Yeah, I started golfing competitively when I was probably 8 or 9 years old. I used to just go out to the golf course and watch my dad and my brother play and just kind of walk along with them. And one day my brother was playing in tournaments and I was tired of walking and watching. And my mom said, if you're tired of walking, then you can start playing yourself. So I signed up for some tournaments. And it was first just about the friendships and just going out there and playing and having a good time. And then I started to get more interested in the competitive aspect of it and started practicing and got better and better. And with the help of my brother and him being my practice buddy, I think that's really what set me apart, and just I got a lot better quickly. And I don't know when I'd be my dad. Probably when I was in middle school, maybe. I don't know.
So you have such a sweet demeanor, but is there an edge? Are you, you want to crush your opponent? I mean, where's, how do you balance your sweet demeanor and kind sound with, you know, the competitive nature that is sports and golf, because golf is competitive in the respect that you're by yourself against everybody else?
Yeah, no, I definitely am competitive in my own way. I don't show it as much on the outside. I try really hard to just be respectful of my playing opponents. And I know deep down that I'm very frustrated if I'm not playing well and if I'm not winning. But I've just been in the game long enough and know that it's a gentleman's sport not to really show that on the outside, and cheer on my opponents and tell them good shot and that kind of thing, because I think that that stands out more than being competitive and frustrated on the outside.
Do you ever have an opponent who you're teamed up with who does not share the same, in other words, they trash talk, or you're thinking, oh, they're not very nice?
Yeah, no, I've definitely played with some golfers that aren't super nice, and I would say more likely they don't talk as much, or they get frustrated and, you know, their body language is pretty negative, but it definitely affects your playing partners and your teammates. And when you have a bad hole and your teammates can see that, it's not good. So just being able to hide it and erase it and just move on from it and know that it's just one bad hole or one bad shot is really important in college golf and in general in golf and in life, I guess, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Last couple of things, Ellie. When you won your title, the third of your career at Silverado a couple of weeks back, you had to hold off some very competitive, talented golfers. You got a strong performance, 67-68 the first 2 days. So you go into the last day. What was your mindset, knowing you had a really good shot at the title playing and the way you played your last day, and to win it when you have, I think it's, is it Corpuz, Allison Corpuz of USC, that you beat by one stroke? She's one of the best in the country, no doubt. So tell us just a little bit about your thinking and your mindset on that last day and even the last couple of holes.
Yeah, no, it's definitely tough starting off a tournament, being in the lead and keeping it throughout the 3 days, because a lot can happen over that time. And so my goal was really just to go out every single morning and commit to my shots and play as well as I could and just see what happens, because, you know, you can't control what everyone else is doing. So it's really all about how well you're controlling what you can do. So definitely in the last few holes, I was getting more and more nervous as Allison was making a lot of birdies. She finished with 3 birdies in a row. But I was trying really hard to hold her off, and I made some really clutch putts coming in as well and made a 4-footer on the last hole to win. So I think just knowing that I had it in me and I just had to, you know, stay calm and committed, and that kind of got me through it, I think.
When it's coming down to the end, I think you told us you're not a scoreboard watcher, but do you, when it's, you know, a one stroke difference between you and your playing partner?
No, I actually am a scoreboard watcher. Okay. I love to know where I'm at, and I think the pressure helps me. I usually putt better under pressure when I know I have to make something. Mm-hmm. I'm not really sure why, but it's always been like that. So I asked my coach to look on mine when I was on, I think I was in the 18th fairway, and I knew that Allison was, you know, at least 2 behind me, I think, at that point, and I wasn't sure. And my coach looked it up and told me, and then Allison ended up making birdie, so I knew I had to make par. So
wow.
You want to know what your shot is. That's good to hear. Our last few minutes with Ellie Slama on this week's podcast, also brought to you by, and we're glad this message doesn't resonate quite as much now, but when you need a pair of boots for rainy Oregon weather, choose a boot done right, and that's lacrosse boots, done right since 1897, one of the presenting sponsors of the podcast. Ellie, in defeating a golfer and being able to win over Allison in the Silverado, is that part of the reason that you feel like you go to the OGA event, the qualifier for the U.S. Open, with confidence that you've played with some of the best already and won? You feel like you could go do it again, even with the field as competitive as it is?
Yeah, I mean, I think that playing against Pac-12 golfers and, you know, the field that was at Augusta has made me feel more confident in my game, and I feel like I can play good golf and show up and maybe beat some professionals at the event. So, I think that if I play well, I think that I have a very good shot at making it to the U.S. Open, which would be really cool.
Absolutely. What is that course like in Woodburn, by the way? I've never seen it, John. I don't know if you have. What is that course? How does it play?
There's a hazard on every single hole except for one. So it's a really good course, but it's tough for sure. And if you're not hitting the ball straight and you're struggling a little bit off the tee, it definitely punishes you. So I think that I have a good shot. I've played there almost as much as I've played Tristine Tree in my life because, you know, playing Oregon Junior Golf, we play there a lot. So it's nice to have it at a course that I know very well.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Are you the type of player to lay up or to go for the green when there's water or something right in front?
I would say it depends on how comfortable I am with the club. I think relatively I would consider myself a safe player. So I usually lay up, but you never know. It depends on where I'm at and how I'm playing and how I'm striking the ball.
Yeah. Depends on a feel, and each day is different. Each situation is different, I'm sure. Ellie, the first things first, though, the Pac-12s, and then the Beavers. You guys are in position to go as a team to the regionals, too, right? It's been a good year. We're talking about you and your season, but it's been a good year for the team, too, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right now we're at 30th, I think, ranked golf stat. So that's amazing, and we have a very good shot at making it to a regional, hopefully Stanford regional, which would be nice because then we'd play it back-to-back with Pac-12s there. But I'm excited to see what the team can do, and I think definitely Silverado was a good start. We finished third, and there were eight Pac-12 teams there, so that sets us up really well for the next week and also for regionals.
Ellie, it's been a real pleasure to visit with you again in this longer form of conversation. Thank you for making time for us. It's been a delight to follow your career.
I just want to wrap it up. Quick couple of questions. Do you ever, I know you're busy right now, but do you ever golf for fun with friends? Like, you know, old high school buddies. All right, let's go golf.
Yes, of course I do. I honestly love golf, whether it's competitive or whether it's just for fun. So this last summer, I got to play a lot with some of my friends from high school, and just, you know, everyone being home since the pandemic, it was fun to get out and golf and enjoy the sunshine in the summer. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to doing that again and just having a fun summer of some golf and not as much competitiveness as right now.
So you're patient when your friend is shooting a 110.
Yeah, I would say I'm pretty patient. I definitely want to give some tips, though.
Yeah, absolutely. But I also wonder if somebody's having a hot day and pushing you a little bit. Does the competitive juice start to flow? Well, okay, I'll take this back here now. If somebody ever pushes you, does that ever happen?
Yeah, I mean, every once in a while I'll play with, you know, my dad or my brother, and they'll play super well, and I'm like, whoa, where'd this come from? So obviously I want to beat them. But it's still really fun. We have a good time.
Well, thanks for the good time you've provided us on this podcast, Ellie. We'll be following you closely in the weeks ahead, and we've enjoyed following your career at Oregon State. Thanks for taking time for us again. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
All right.
Ellie Slama, our guest on this week's edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast, also brought to you by Willamette Valley Vineyards. I don't know if you've joined the Game Day Wine Club yet, Doc. A lot of people have. When you do, you receive special benefits, and a portion of the sales go to the Fermentation Science Program at Oregon State. So if you haven't signed up already, we encourage you to. Willamette Valley Vineyards, and the site is wvv.com/gameday. And our thanks to Oregon State eCampus. eCampus is ranked number 4 in the country for online education by U.S. News and World Report. Learn more today at ecampus.oregonstate.edu, and go Beavs. Boy, that was a lot of fun visiting with Ellie in that longer, more relaxed form of conversation.
We've had lots of conversations with her over these last couple of years, and fun to get to know her. But boy, just a great kid, and really going for the U.S. Open. That's really cool. Oregon State is doing fan cutouts for spring sports season, of course, with the help of our friends at your local Toyota dealers. Toyota will plant a tree for every cutout purchase this year to help the Beaver State recover from the devastating wildfires. Buy now and get the very best spots. We're still going. In fact, we're in the heart of the season at Goss, the Kelly Softball Complex, or Lorenz Field. Kelly Field, that is, for the softball, or Lorenz Field. Go to osubeavers.com to learn more. All right, that'll wrap it up for this edition of the Beaver Sports Podcast. We'll come back and do it again next week. Our thanks to Ellie Slama for joining us. So long, everybody.
This has been the Beaver Sports Podcast, presented by On Point Community Credit Union. Your community, your place to bank. Join in. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Beaver Sports Network.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.